Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from awesome middle Arizona.
Since Scottsdale.
It was so politely, which it was, pointed out to me yesterday, like, what's with the Southern? I'm so used to saying Southern.
Yeah. Right?
So that's why.
Sunny Scottsdale. I'll change the script.
Want to call it that? All
sure.
Right, that's good. Cool.
Today, Jill and I talk about Jill's recent successful 11th hour land upsell. I couldn't be more proud of her.
Oh, thank you very much.
We had, you know, like many, many, many times it happens. You have adjacent property. You buy two properties, contiguous, two or three or four properties altogether. These two properties that we Jill and I happened to buy really recently generated a ton of interest. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I'll ask her about it.
I'll explain it all a little bit.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Ross wrote, "Hi guys, we're in the process of hiring staff. And my question is specifically about an acquisition manager and a sales manager. Do you think that these two positions should be equal compensation? Or is one position deserving higher pay? Thanks." You want to go first?
You're like pitting us against each other.
Huh.
Because I think there's way more value in the acquisition process. And less value in the sales manager. But
I feel the opposite.
I'm confident she feels the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So then that way, equal pay.
Well, I'll tell you, Ross. I'm not sure that you want to outsource both of those at the same time. Nothing happens. There's nothing to sell unless somebody bought something at a great price where there's built-in equity. And then the sales happens automatically. So if you are and have been the acquisition manager, which Jill and I both kind of do, mm-hmm. in our professional land life, you're just shoving it off to salespeople. Basically, they're just posting it and taking calls and saying, this is how you pay,
mm-hmm.
or this is how we're going to close.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the acquisition manager, hopefully it's you, should stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And you should get not managers, but assistants to help you post stuff and kind of train somebody and guide them along. And I'll tell you what worked for us is hiring family members really early on at this point. Because you're going to have a tiff and some stuff's going to happen and they're not going to leave and go screaming off. And it's just worked out well for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the trust factor and all that mm-hmm. too. So if you've got someone, that'd be a good, someone who wants to learn and get in this with you, which I'm sure someone, once you start making a few dollars, there's going to be family members that come forward.
Yeah.
And say, what are you doing over there?
Or a spouse.
Uh-huh. And want to help. That's a good idea. I love it.
But philosophically, let's say, and that's not the land business. Do you think acquisitions, like in investment banking, they're paid equally.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a bifurcated investment bank with an acquisition, people are going to find properties, companies to buy, and people are dealing with, it's strangely enough, I was in investment banking, I was always on the sell side.
Well, I was going to say, I think in the majority of organizations, the salespeople are paid the most. They get these rocking commissions because they sell great, big stuff. It's all marked up. The acquisition guy is an assistant of buying whatever widget. And then the salesperson's to move as many widgets at the highest price that they can, and then they're going to get rocking pay based on that.
It's a delicate balance, but
it is.
In the real world, not in the land world, sales is more important.
Right.
Today's topic, Jill's recent successful 11th hour land upsell. This is the meat of the show. It's a mouthful, too.
Huh. So here's the backstory. Bought two properties, really nice properties from a sweet man, in for about $11,000 each. When we closed escrow, it was like $23,000. So two adjacent properties. One's 22 acres, one was 23 acres. And we put them online to sell individually. And they were worth about $80 each. And so we marked them, one at $57,000, one at $60,000. And because that was a good price, they're probably worth even more now I think about it, more like $100,000. Marijuana friendly, excellent access. One of them had road access from the bottom and the top. It was just awesome. And I got so much. I should have put a sign out there. I never even got to put a sign out there, but I got a photographer, took great photos, had drone images. And put them online. And because of the marijuana thing, it's really hot in this area. So got a lot of calls. And every person, and I put them separately, but in the posting, I put in there, hey, by the way, this is one of two. Look at the one next door. Happy to cut a deal if you want both. So the ultimate buyer was really only interested in one. He brought an agent, which was so funny. So an agent calls me, hey, do you deal with agents? Do you commission? And I'm like, you know what? Not really. It's not my first choice. I'm not going to let it kill the deal, but my first choice would be, and so I've never talked to the seller, by the way, or the buyer. I've only talked to the agent. I said, my first choice would be, if you guys work it out on your own and he pays you separately, however you guys work that out, that's what I'd really like. He said, okay, let me get back to you. 24 hours go by, here comes an offer, and he wrote in there, his own commission is paid separate, cash, from the buyer, and they did their thing. Awesome. His offer was $50,000 cash for one of them. I said, you know what? I'll take it. I'm really in for like 11.5 on this property. I'm like, now I still have the other property. It's worth 60. I'm just gonna let that ride and see what happens. So down the process, everything's great, going through escrow. Come to find out, for some weird reason, and I don't want you to get nervous because this is very, 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 very rare, but even though we had two APNs, the property was never formally all the way on the maps split. So escrow couldn't figure out how to do a legal description. And the county said, I'm not helping you. You need to get a survey. I'm like, great. So,
which could have been, would have been fine.
Which is fine. I was going to go down that path.
Totally fine.
That's what I was going to do. So that's the whole thing. So it's not the end of the world. Like, it just slows everything down. So I said, okay, great. And I had just done this. I had to do another survey in another part of the country, a couple states over. It cost me, I think that one cost me like $2,000, maybe, I think about $2,200, only because I asked a guy to rush it. It would have been like $1,500, but I'm like, I don't want to wait. Can we get this stupid thing done? He's like, yeah, for $2,200, you go to the front of the line. I said, I'll go to the front. That's really how it went. I said, fine. I'll pay the $2,200 and go to the front of the line, get mine done first. He's like, sure.
You've always been a front of the line, front of the airplane kind of person.
Oh, I am. So. Like at a concert? Oh, yeah. Front row, front of the plane, front of the line. How much? No, don't think that you don't do that. This is okay. Time out. Let me tell you how this man is. This man says, can't money solve this problem?
Yes.
So I'm not alone here. So going back to the transaction, I was just told my person, my transaction coordinator, all right, please call the county, find out who their favorite guy is that does the surveys and get this going. And I hung up the phone. I said, you know what? I'm going to call this agent. And I tried to sell these two together. And I said, look, you know, does he want both? I really like to sell both at the same time, make him deal. No, he really can't afford it. Doesn't have the money. He can afford this one, but he can't, you know, pay cash for this one, but he can't afford them both. I'm like, you know what? Fine. So we're going back. So this is the 11th hour. We're like getting ready to wire and close. This was the last stupid thing, the legal going on the deed where they got hung up. And so I called the agent back and I said, look, his name is Juan. I said, hey, Juan, is there any chance? I said, we got two choices here. It's either going to take him a couple weeks while I wait for this stupid survey, and we're going to finish this like we agreed, no problems. Or, and I'll pay for that, or I'll make him a rockin' deal. He can have them both for 85, which is a rockin' deal. I thought, buy one for 50, get the second one for 35. Who can argue with that? He said, let me call you back. So then he called me back and said, he can do 80. Will you take it? And I said, done. And then within an hour, the suite agent had done a new updated whatever addendum to the purchase price. We moved the closing 2 days for him to get the money, and we sold at 80. And I'm very happy with that. And then I quickly called my print, stop calling survey guys, I don't need them after all. She's like, you're amazing. She even said that. She's like, you're amazing, how do you do that? I'm like, just throw it out there, see what happens.
Well, speaking of amazing, here's my question.
Okay.
Because there are people, the vast majority of people, for some reason, negotiation and met price maximization, those things are, we really have to, Jill and I have to really undo that for seasoned real estate people.
True.
That come into the Land Academy membership area.
That's true.
So what was the list price on this, 120?
Yeah, 57 and 60.
And what did you sell it for?
80.
Does that crush your soul?
Nope.
It doesn't crush mine either. In fact, I think it's the greatest thing ever. She's got $23,000 into this thing. Sold it for 80 even, probably after fees, was probably whatever, 75, 78, some number like that. I would so much rather be done with it, get the cash. We didn't have to do a survey. There was no, you know, bird in the hand situation. But there are people. And what do you say to these people is my question. Who psychologically can't come off a purchase price like that.
Yeah. They've got to get over it.
Yeah, you got
to
get over it.
I have to tell them. I know it hurts, but you got to stop it and move on.
You want.
Because you know what's going to happen? If I hold out for maximum price, how much longer is that going to take me? 6 months? Why would I do that? I have this buyer. We are done. We are all in. He's got the money. It's great. He's excited. You know, he's now jumping up. Here's the thing, too. He is now jumping up and down.
As he should be.
That he got, wow, because he was thinking to buy one for 57. He was happy except 50. Now he gets two for 80. I'm like, come on. This is, you know, wonderful. And if he wants to, by the
classic
way.
Classic upsell, Joe.
He can get that survey done, spend a stupid $2,000, get a survey done, still sell the other one, and make some money back. And I wish him all the best. So I have to tell people, you have to think about what's important here. And for us is, we make money on, I talked about this on Clubhouse, by the way, a little bit. If you're on Clubhouse, please come find me just at Jill DeWitt and you will find me. And I do regular Thursday talks on all kinds of different topics. Our way is volume, not maximizing profit, but volume. And this is interesting because we have a topic. I know a podcast coming up in a couple days that's going to be on this. Like, are you a one deal a month? Or are you a one deal a day? And so that's where you kind of want to be. And I'd rather be one deal a day and move them fast and I'm still going to double my money. I don't need to hold out for five times. Do I really need to hold out for five times my money? Nope. When I've got this guy right here. Do you want me to ask him a question?
No, I think that, I don't know what else to say. Your ROI on that deal was our ROI on that is 400%. And I think we probably owned it. I don't know if we owned it three months. Was it weeks?
Weeks. I don't know what it was, but yeah.
You can't keep them all straight.
I know. That's what happens.
400% ROI is not a full-blown, complete win. And you have to actually hold out for $100,000 or $120,000 because that's what it's worth. The property was easily worth $120,000, probably more. And it's going up.
That was the thing. I priced it conservatively at $120,000.
Yeah. That's wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have stuck around for 2 years and got $150,000 for it.
Yeah.
But why?
I don't do that.
We've already placed the money, the proceeds from that, like a day after we got it into other deals. So that's how I roll too.
Yeah. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Land Academy Membership versus Owning a Franchise. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. It should be a fun talk. Some people are set up to fly solo, and some people just need a huge amount of direction when it comes to owning a company, and I have a lot to say about that, turns out.
That's true. That'll be interesting. Some people need, like, here's the equipment you need to buy, here's the plans for your build-out, and that. I know which one we are, because it's the same. If you need access to any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood overlays, if you're in our business, this is a big deal, check out neighborscoop.com, created by investors, that's us, for investors, that's you. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.